Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. Here to encourage you in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, and Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day, sir.
Good day. We want to welcome all of our viewers and listeners on the Gulf Coast Christian Television Network, and of course, all of those that are listening all across the nation and the world. We're excited to be with you today. We have so much to talk about and so much to discuss. I want to give you a quick little rundown on some of the things that we're going to be discussing today. Of course, ISIS is in the news, and tragic third beheading, and we're going to talk about that a little bit and about some of the things that have been done and some of the plans that are getting ready to be implemented to put an end to, as the president says, degrade and destroy. Also, the United Kingdom is getting involved with the Prime Minister David Cameron. But interestingly enough, Pat, I don't know if you knew this, Scotland is about to take a historic vote. It's been 300 years since these countries have been united together. It's the United Kingdom. I believe it's Scotland, Ireland, Wales, England. I may be missing another country there, but that's the United Kingdom. Well, Scotland, they've been together 300 years, is taking a historic vote this week to secede, to leave England.
Really?
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. In fact, it's about 8% of...
You mean leave the UK?
Right. Leave the United Kingdom, if you will. And it's a big deal. So they represent like 8% of the population, but $225 billion. It's a whole bunch of, and a lot of people want to be a part there. And so even the Queen got involved. They'd really think hard and about what you were getting ready to do. Because, you know, they even talk about how they may have to redo the flag. I mean, it's a big deal. Yeah, wow. I mean, not mean to laugh about it, but just, wow. But so many things are happening right now, you think, man, this is like, you need to pay attention. Not only that, but they're saying that the markets could really feel, the financial market could really feel a major thing, you know, as a result of all of this. So you just want to be prayerful and watchful, but never to be concerned. I mean, you know, we already were told in the Bible that events, you know, are going to be happening, wars, rumors of wars. Things are constantly changing, but it's not for us to be sitting on the edge of our seat, biting our fingernails, or as one video said, watching with splayed fingers.
With what?
Splayed fingers. And if you remember, if you picked splated. That up, if you picked that up Sunday when watching the shark video, that's what the guy said. That's hilarious.
No, but, I never heard that one before.
Yeah. Your hands over your eyes. You can only peek through.
Yeah, peek
if
through.
If you're watching a scary movie. Mm. Never did that as a kid.
I thought that was funny.
Okay.
No, he just,
I did not. I think it's
yeah,
scary.
He didn't get scared.
No.
It was
only
Chris.
Only when your team's losing.
It was Chris that was terrorized.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, I said that. But okay. It was Chris that was terrorized. Man, just pray for Chris. Pray for Chris. Somebody told me over the weekend, you love this. Somebody told me, you guys got so onto Chris about them dog. I just couldn't believe it. Don't you feel bad? No, not really. They say Chris is so humble. They say Chris is so humble. He didn't even respond. He didn't even say
one
word.
You don't have a mic. Trust me, I can hear you in the background.
I said he didn't have a mic. They go, okay, well, that's still wrong. I said, wow, look at here.
Wow.
See what happened.
But you have fans, Chris.
Hey.
You have fans.
They were trying to defend you, but they found out.
He still doesn't have a mic.
Well, they're hitting us on Facebook. They're hitting on Facebook. Yes, it is B-A-R. No, we'll leave that alone. But listen, you definitely want to be alert on what's going on. We're going to be talking about also probably a third part of our conversation that we've had ongoing now on the religious spirit, exposing, uncovering, and overcoming this deceptive spirit and getting it out. And dealing with it, and we're going to talk in more detail about different manifestations and how this thing shows up, if you will, and how we can just put an end to it. So stay tuned. But in terms of what's going on in ISIS, the Christian Post is reporting that a third person, a British aid worker by the name of David Haynes, was beheaded by ISIS. If you remember, the first person was a journalist by the name of James Foley, United States citizen, and as well as Stephen Skotlov. It's important that we remember these men for their bravery, for their heroic efforts. My understanding is that the British aid worker was helping refugees in Syria. And these are folks that have left their homeland to go to a different land and have put themselves in harm's way. And now they were taken captives and used as puppets to embarrass and humiliate leaders in our country and as well now the United Kingdom with Prime Minister David Cameron. But this is a horrific thing, and this is what was said. It said the murder of David Haynes is an act of pure evil, and my heart goes out to his family, who have shown extraordinary courage and fortitude. These are President Obama's remarks. The Prime Minister David Cameron tweeted that basically, hey, this is gruesome, and we're going to deal with this. Mm-hmm. We are going to deal with this. And what was interesting in all of this, this is what was said to David Cameron in this video that was done, because they videotaped this again. This is what the executioner said. I'd like to declare that I hold you, David Cameron, entirely responsible for my execution. Well, this is what they had David Haynes read. He says, you entered voluntarily into a coalition with the United States against the Islamic State, just as your predecessor, Tony Blair, did, and following a trend against our British prime ministers who can't find the courage to say no to America. And so his brother, David Haynes, who was executioner's brother, said, listen, my brother wouldn't have said those words. They obviously forced him to say those things. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, this is what is being done. And we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to continue to pray. We want to continue to lift up, all of those people that are being held captive, that, you know, in the area that ISIS has taken over. I guess they call them the Islamic State, those in Syria, Iraq, Lebanon. And we want to pray for their removal, that they are dealt with and once and for all. I mean, now the projections are that this group started out as 12,000 soldiers. And now, like, you know, over just a couple of days, all of a sudden now the CIA is reporting, oh, they're 31,000. And it said, you know, by next week, who knows, there'll be 50,000. And it's, you know, come on. It's a few thousand soldiers. It's a few thousand soldiers compared to the vast military that the United States has, the United Kingdom has. We can do this. Mm-hmm. We can do this. But serious efforts and plans are put in place so that these guys don't come back into their respective countries and commit these terrorist acts on, you know, their own citizens. So continue to pray, continue to watch this while Israel, Hamas, Iran, all eerily silent in this morning. Stay close and follow us into the second hour, because we're going to be talking about in the second hour about Saudi and how this anti-Christian sweep that's happening in Saudi Arabia, now that's being reported, all this stuff's coming to light, and what's happening to the Christians in Saudi Arabia. Listen, it's JJ, it's Jews and the Christians. You want to pay attention, you want to be alert. We shared with you on a previous segment how Senator Ted Cruz was booed on stage. They say he was booed off, but what we showed you is that he walked off. He had a message prepared to share. His message wasn't being received. He folded up his notes and said, listen, I stand with Israel, but if you don't stand with Israel, then I won't stand with you. Folded up his speech and walked off. And I want to encourage you to have that same type of fortitude, that same type of courage, that backbone for Israel and for Christians, because in the coming days, we're going to need it. And those who pray together, stay together, and we want to continue to pray, and watch God move in amazing and powerful ways. And also in the second hour, don't miss it, we are going to be talking about as well the power and the humility of prayer. So it's going to be two programs back-to-back that you don't want to miss. Stay tuned. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Can you hire or fire on religious practices? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son went to a super center, told him he was going to put his application in for a job, and that he couldn't work Sundays. The gentleman told him that he had no position in the store for him to work if he could not work on Sundays.
Well, it depends if it's a bona fide occupational qualification, if there's other reasonable accommodation. And Walmart has been generally very good at these things. So we need to find out the exact specifics of what the opening was. Was it a Sunday-only opening? But generally under Title VII, they're supposed to make a reasonable accommodation. They certainly can't hire or fire based on religious practice. That would be a violation of the rules. But again, Walmart generally very receptive to meeting the religious accommodation needs of its employees. Hang on the line. We'll get you in touch with some of our lawyers here and see if we can get you some help.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're going to continue our conversation that we've been having on the religious spirit, exposing, uncovering, and overcoming this deceptive spirit. And this is something that we really got to take care of. This is something that has stirred us all, and we're just kind of looking at it and saying, okay, all right, okay, we're gonna look at this stuff. And one of the things that we've been discussing is that this is something that Jesus has dealt with so much in the scriptures, yet how many times have you heard this talked about? How many times have you seen this addressed? Mm-hmm. When the third of the book of Matthew, when, you know, 90 of the 98 times the word Pharisee is used in the New Testament is used in the Gospels, I think this is an important topic. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at 11 chapters out of a 28-chapter book, that, you know, it's like every second or third chapter, Jesus is either dealing with a Pharisee, mm-hmm. confronting a Pharisee, answering an accusation or, you know, repositioning something that they said. Or they observed, because they love to see and comment. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing when we look at a Pharisee, we're just looking at a manifestation of a religious spirit. And understand that what a religious spirit does is it attempts to basically substitute religious activity for the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so as long as it looks religious, looks right on the outside, doesn't matter what's going on the inside, mm-hmm. as long as it looks like it's godly, mm-hmm. then that's good. You want to operate in that thing. But it's not good. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's of non-effect. I mean, 2 Timothy 3:5 says that they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And we don't want to have a form of godliness. We want to move in the power of God, in the resurrection power that is available to us. And when you look at the Pharisees, you'll start seeing, you know, some of the things that they were constantly talking about, constantly addressing, things that they were accusing Jesus about. I mean, think about it. They're talking about, why do your disciples, they don't fast? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. On a separate occasion, they say, well, why didn't your disciples wash their hands? Mm-hmm. More concerned with their bodies being clean than the cleanliness of their own heart. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like all the ceremonial washing stuff is like, I see the huge importance of this, you know?
Yeah.
How come they're not honoring the Sabbath? Not understanding that the Sabbath was standing right in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, and if anyone would be able, you would imagine, to understand and have a revelation of who the Messiah was, I mean, we would dare say that they would have the best yeah. possible chance to know that. And yet they didn't.
Yeah.
Which goes to show you that you can have a lot of information. You can memorize the scriptures, but if you don't have revelation,
mm-hmm.
then what does that produce in your life? You know, it's the Rhema revealed word God to you. You know, it's the truth that you know that will set mm-hmm. you free.
Mm-hmm. It really puts the fear of God in you just thinking about that, because it highlights the reality that you can be deceived. Mm. And that's just so powerful, because we've talked about, it's just like the religious spirit has the audacity to know or proclaim to know the scripture when they're looking at the scripture and calling the scripture Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, if you don't think that you can be deceived, that highlights that
you're already deceived.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you got to be aware of, just like, dear God, help me to see what I don't see.
Yeah. Think about it. Here they are looking and questioning why Jesus is sitting and eating with tax collectors and sinners.
Yeah.
Why does he do that? Why mm-hmm. does he do that? They wanted a religious activity like praying to be seen by man. That was something that was important to them. Think about it. They wanted people to see them praying.
Mm.
They wanted to appear godly in the eyes of others with their long robes and phylacteries, not caring
mm-hmm.
about living for the eyes of the Father. They were more concerned about their man-made traditions instead of God's word. Over and over and over. Why do your disciples ignore the traditions of the elders?
Right.
It's like, how about the scriptures? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They accused, they judged, and they condemned the woman caught in adultery while they were ignoring their own sin. I mean, yeah. this one right here this will flip the script on you. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, here you have this woman who I believe is in John 8 is caught in the act of adultery. They bring her to Jesus. This is all a setup. The man, who knows where he's at, because he doesn't come into the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they bring this woman. They accuse her. Says the law of Moses says, hey, she has to be stoned. And the truth is that this is what the law of Moses said. She did have to be stoned, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we, and I'm paraphrasing here for you, but Jesus begins to start writing in the sand. We don't know what Jesus wrote in the sand. We can only, you know, gather from the text and what happened, you know, after he started writing what Jesus could have wrote. But think about it. He writes in the sand, and one by one, they begin to drop their stones and walk away. And he says to the woman, listen, you know, where are your accusers? You know, where are your listen, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And the thing is that we could gather that, okay, if her punishment was being stoned, you could only imagine. Maybe Jesus was writing down all mm-hmm. of their sins one by one
mm-hmm.
and then writing the penalty for each one of those sins.
All right.
You know, I don't know, 39 lashes for you, you know. Oh, you know, boulders, not rocks, not pebbles, but boulders for this one. Who knows? And one by one, at that point, because then they were going to receive punishment, they say, oh, you know, never mind with the law. Never, you know, never mind. It's hypocritical trying to hold someone else to a standard that you yourself, you know, can't even hold. It's a major, major thing that was going on. You know, they were more interested in trying to put a law, like I said, on somebody than trying to carry it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same thing that you just talked about, Steve, is that this religious spirit is so fierce. I mean, the thing is, it is so evil that it can look right at Jesus in the face and call him Satan. Why? Because he was interfering with their religious plans that they felt was right. And so I was like, okay, all right, this is not good. And so oftentimes people that sometimes struggle with an issue, if it's a religious spirit or if it's fear or it's pride, it's been influencing their lives for so long that sometimes you see people cuddle up with this spirit, and it's like, hey, this is not your friend. Fear is not your friend. You got to get fear out of your life. This is not who you are. They so identify with a spirit, it's like they take ownership. It's like, that's not who you are. Get free from that. And you're not a religious spirit. Get free from that. Don't make friends with it.
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it, because understand 3 D's: demonic, dangerous, and deceptive. You got to know what you're looking at. In the last days that we are in, we're going to be facing, and have been facing, but probably facing it in a greater dimension, a battle against the religious spirit. And we've had discussions when we talked about The Harvest, a book written by Rick Joyner, regarding the great persecution that Rick Joyner saw that's going to happen to the church in the period of great humiliation. And what Rick writes is basically what we're going to be seeing is people that are being taken down with a religious spirit. They're going to be used, as the Bible tells us, they're going to be doing God a favor by attacking brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're seeing that just all over. Even now, it's just like the rise of just so many religious works and religious, you know, you name it. And that's the thing. It's just, it's man's attempt to get right with God by what they can do. And you've talked about it before. It's just like that never ending journey of a treadmill and wearing yourself out and doing things. And it's just like, that's all religion. And regardless of what name you put on it, apart from Jesus Christ, it's works. Yeah. It's trying to get to God by what you can do or can't do.
In the name of Jesus, they're going to be doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rick Joyner says that the religious spirit has done far more damage to the church than the New Age movement and other cults combined. And so they're going to use the word to come get you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to use the word to attack you. And it's no different than what the Pharisees did and tried to do to Jesus. So understand this, that the deal with the religious spirit, it's a murder spirit. I mean, these are the ones that were saying, crucify, crucify. This is what you're saying.
And that's so significant, too, how you're saying it. It's just like they're going to use the scripture against you. I mean, remember when Jesus was baptized in the gospel, it says that the Holy Spirit led him into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And the devil attacked Jesus with scripture. It tried to manipulate him and say, hey, you know, if you are, you know, attacking him with doubt. And it's just like, hey, you know, the devil knows the Bible too. The devil knows scripture. But the thing is, though, just because somebody comes at you and just starts saying, you know, this verse or this chapter or this verse, and it's just like, it's twisted.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important. It's just like, you have to know the one who is the word, not just know the word out of your head, because that's what that religious spirit wants to do. It tries to put the law on you, or tries to put the word and just say, okay, well, you don't measure up here, 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 and here. And it's just like, no, but that's why I need Jesus, because we're not going to do it in the law.
You need to know the living word.
Exactly.
You need to know in the beginning was the word. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You need to know the word.
Yeah.
And his name is Jesus. And so important. It's so important to get a hold of this and to have this revelation, because, listen, the outpouring, the third great awakening that we're believing for, the great harvest, the ingathering of souls that's coming upon the face of the earth, we don't want to be used in the middle of this thing to come against it, to criticize it, to attack it, like so many others in the past have done. So many moves of God, so many things of God have been attacked by people, believers, that have had operating a religious spirit in their life. And the dangerous part of that is that you're attacking God here. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, this ain't good. This is not good. And so we want to be aware. We want to have this revelation so that we can move forward. One of the things that we need to discuss in the way of this religious spirit is, how does it manifest? How does it show up? I mean, we've seen some of the ways it's shown up in the Pharisees, but maybe how can we see that in relation to how we live our everyday lives? Because I think a lot of people are attacked with things that they just don't know that they're being attacked with. That they just don't know, and it takes revelation of the Holy Spirit. It takes maybe even someone in your own life to say, "Hey, you know, that's not right. You need to pray about that. What's going on?" And God speaks to us in so many different ways. If you're not humble enough to see that God can use other people to speak to you, and say, "Oh, I only let God speak to me in His Word," you know, so I only let, well, you're going to miss a lot there too, because although He does, God often uses people. The entire Bible is based upon God using people to communicate His message. The Bible that you're reading, God used somebody to put it down on paper. Right. You know what I mean? So we need to pay attention more when we get right back from this break. We're going to talk about the each individual manifestations that we have been able to see when we get right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. In the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about a religious spirit, how it, you know, exposing it, uncovering it, and overcoming it. It's deceptive, it's dangerous, it's demonic, and it's got to go. And, you know, the moment we begin to take our eyes off of Jesus and start putting it on ourselves, we've left the place of humility and dependency on God, of course, and then we think that we're walking securely. But in fact, once you take your eyes off of Jesus, you're dangerously on a slippery slope, and soon to be sliding all over the place with a religious spirit. And an analogy the Lord gave me about a religious spirit is I was spending time in the Gospels for some time now. I kept coming across the religious spirit, because Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees, and just Matthew alone, and I believe it's chapter 3, 5, 6, 9, 12, 15, 16, you know, 21, 22, 23, and 27. And you're like, okay, every second and third chapter keeps coming up. Interesting enough, how many times, and we've discussed this at the Dream Center here recently, how many times have you think people have been tempted to go, I don't need to read that part. Like someone told me.
He's not talking about me.
those guys. Oh, what's wrong with them?
I know who needs to hear this. This is a word for the, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys that do X, Y, you know, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. That's talking about those type of Christians. Certainly not me. And I just tend to think that if this is something that occupies a third of the Book of Matthew, something that Jesus has spoken extensively about and is covered in the New Testament, probably something that we should be aware with, because it's something that Jesus wants the church to know. In fact, he told the disciples, be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees, which is their teaching. And so we want to be careful. But one of the analogies that God gave me in regarding the religious spirit is one of an octopus. When you look at an octopus, and I had to actually go research this, they call it a giant Pacific octopus. I guess it's a big guy. But it has these arms, these tentacles, and of course it has all these suction cups at the end of it. And you look at the religious spirit as a whole, it's an ugly thing, as ugly as an octopus. An octopus is pretty ugly, you know what I'm saying? It has a beak, by the way. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. It has a beak, and it can hide. It camouflages. I mean, you would never know that it was there if you were, you know, I guess a shark or some other, you know, fish or whatever thing in the ocean. But when it gets those arms around you, you better watch out. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had a video. Maybe we can make it related for you here on the Torch, where a shark was. They put a octopus in an aquarium, and they were wondering what is happening to all the fish.
He's done it again.
Actually, it was a shark, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they first started out wondering what happened to the fish, because they were losing fish.
Okay, gotcha.
And because they thought this is how interesting, they thought that the octopus was not a dangerous animal. I mean, you know, they thought that, you know,
it was just docile and just laid around, slept all day.
Yeah, laid around and just floated around with these little arms or whatever. However, they put a camera in there, in this aquarium, and found out that this octopus wrapped its tentacles, its arms, all around this shark that passed by, and literally just suffocated this thing. I mean, just wrapped one, two, three, and it was all she wrote. Mm-hmm. He would, you know, this shark was not getting free. Mm-mm. And it was a wrap.
Yeah.
And the religious spirit is a lot like that in the fact that it tries to camouflage itself under the guise of looking godly, under the guise of, yes, it has a Jesus pin on, yes, it says all the right things, knows all the right scriptures. It person could be sitting right there next to you in your fellowship. I mean, it's just looks right, But on the inside, mm-hmm. I think that's why it's so important. It's so important that we heed Jesus' words when he says, you will know them by their fruit. And I think that is a reasonable mm-hmm. expectation for all of us to have, that we should all look at others' fruit, and then we should be okay with other people looking at our fruit. Because yeah. our fruit, our lifestyle, you know, how we conduct ourselves, how we live our lives, those are the telling stories of who we really are. Those are the things that manifest. It's out of the overflow of the heart, what's on the inside, mm-hmm. the mouth speaks. It's what you do are all manifestations of what's happening on the inside.
And it's so important, too, because you think about a lot of times Jesus says, knowing their heart, he said, knowing their heart. And that's the huge thing. It's just like we can't get so caught up in what we see with our eyes that we totally lose sight of what's going on in our hearts. Because that's what matters, is that we're not only going to have to stand before Jesus and answer for what we did, we're going to have to answer for why we did it. We're going to have to answer for the motives, because that's the underlying real factor that matters the most, is our heart matter.
Yeah. Think about this. What you believe determines what you think. What you think determines what you do. And what you do determines what you get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it all flows out of that. So when you see people doing whatever they're doing, or even yourself, you can go back and say, this is linked to a belief that I have somewhere. Mm-hmm. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I come across that way? What's the result of that? And the Bible says that a wise man in the book of Proverbs, a wise woman, gives thought to their ways. And we're going to need to do that in this hour, man. We're going to need to really think about why are we doing, like you said, Steve, the motives. Why are we doing that? Why did that happen? So that we can make sure that we're walking in step and in line with God. We want to walk with him and not get in front of him and not decide to tell him you're going to take a different path. We want to walk with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at this analogy, we're going to try to share a couple of, or several of these tentacles, if you will, just so that we can kind of see how this thing manifests. And one of the ways, one tentacle, is being judgmental. Shocker, right? Judgmental, right? That's one of the tentacles. And that's one of the things that we constantly saw the Pharisees doing. They were constantly judging everything Jesus was doing, constantly judging, you know, his disciples. And to judge means to form an opinion, a decision about something or someone, kind of like a referee or an umpire.
Mm.
And the thing about it is, like, most of the people that I've come across that have the biggest problem with being judged are like, oh, I don't want no one judging me. It's like, they're the ones doing the most of the judging. Like, aren't you judging a lot? And the Bible says that, you know, with the same measure we use to judge others, it's going to get measured back to us.
Mm.
But they don't see the part that they're judging others. They just see when they're the return fire.
Judged, yeah.
And wow. It's like, how easy is it to see, you know, a pharisaical religious spirit in the life of somebody else as opposed to seeing it operate in your own life?
Yeah.
And, Cricket, right? But that's the truth. That's the truth. And we want to be honest. I mean, it's not like God doesn't know. You know what
right.
I mean? This is not a mystery, or that other people know. Clue, you know what I mean? It's like, who cares what other people know if God knows, right? And, you know, oftentimes you hear people say, well, you know, you shouldn't judge. You know, no one should judge. Well, that's not entirely true, because Jesus says that we're going to judge angels. We are going to judge angels. I think the question is do you have the authority in someone's life to make that judgment?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you go to see before a judge, he has the authority to pronounce a judgment, innocent or guilty, over mm-hmm. you, and to give the whatever punishment is necessary, if, you know, when he renders a decision, he or she renders a decision. But even in your everyday life, I mean, do parents have the authority to make judgments in the lives of their children? Yes. You know, leaders and those that have, again, responsibility and authority, though, then maybe they're equipped to make those judgments. But oftentimes there's people that are making judgments that have no authority. Mm-hmm. They have no place. They They're not staying in their lane, if you will. They're all over the place. And oftentimes, if 81%, according to George Marna, if 81% of believers are not even reading the Bible, and of the 19% that are, that means, and that are, that 3% of those actually think that they're responsible for their own spiritual development, then you got a lot of people that are judging everybody else. They're not even reading the Word of God. It's like, oh my goodness, we got to stop the judging and the gavels. And one thing that when we're talking about this, you know, I didn't get too much into, is that how, look what's happening all over the world. You have children judging their parents, making all kind of statements, accusations, all kind of this judgments in their mind, if they haven't at least spoken it, about what their parents could have, would have, should have, all this type of stuff. You have parents judging their children. You have them judging the pastor, if you will. I mean, all these judgments going on, and it's like, man, the judgment has to stop. It really has to stop. And so that's one of the tentacles in this octopus, this religious spirit octopus, is a judgmental spirit, if you will. The other one is self-righteous, and that is a high estimation of one's own worth because of what you've done. And we talked about that in the swinging pendulum, where religious spirit is rooted in pride. You know, the way this hits certain people, and definitely how it hit the Pharisees, was that they thought really high of themselves. They thought they were all that and a bag of chips. You know what I'm saying? They thought they was. And it's like, where does that come from? Where does that come from? To the point where they're telling Jesus, and I believe it's in Matthew, or telling his disciples rather, why does your teacher there eat with tax collectors and sinners? You know, tax collectors at that time, they were not respected people at all. They were normally collecting taxes from the Roman Empire, and they were charging excessive money. That's how they made their living. And so much so that when Zacchaeus came to salvation, if you will, with God, when he came to Jesus, he says, listen, I'm gonna bring restitution four times of what I took. I'm gonna give it back. And the disciples look down at the tax collectors and sinners and are saying, why does he eat with those people?
All right.
When we get back from the break, we're going to talk more about that, and we're going to tell you why Jesus ate with tax collectors, why Jesus ate with sinners, and what was it about Jesus' righteousness that drew the lost, and what was it about the so-called righteousness that the Pharisees had that repelled them? More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. 3 convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing. You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories. They had a representative from the District of Columbia. They all went to Israel for solidarity.
A lot of people might not know where the District of Columbia is.
Well, educate us, because it's near Washington, D.C. somewhere.
It is Washington, D.C.
There it is. Okay.
I assumed you knew, John.
Right. You assumed wrong.
This is a man with all these degrees. And last I heard, walking on water.
I missed that class.
This is our education system. We need help.
I want my money back now.
Yes. That's why they call it Columbia University.
There we go.
Right. Okay. Back to the night with Israel. Oh, how are you doing?
I'm doing
¿Cómo está?
Estoy bien, ¿y tú?
Muy bien.
Muy bien.
Yeah. ¿Cómo está, El Pato?
Come on, diga. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so getting back to Washington, D.C., District of Columbia.
He got one joke. We're gonna
yeah, that's good.
We're going to that puppy out.
6 years of college,
hey, we're
going
to use that humor. I want you to know.
That's good.
We're going to use that humor for the next seven weeks.
Okay, they got that.
Okay,
there.
You got it?
Welcome to VFN TV Daily Radio Program.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about how the righteousness of Jesus drew sinners to him. I mean, think about it. He's sitting down eating with sinners and tax collectors and hanging out. I mean, this was a big deal. Yet the so-called, you know, righteous ones, the Pharisees, those that had religious spirit, thought this was like, you know, why would he hang out with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it got me to thinking, is that why maybe we're not seeing a evangelism en masse, maybe, the way we would like to see it happening? Have we judged those who are lost? Have we looked at their sin and said, oh, those people? Really? I mean, look at their lifestyle, and look at what they're doing, and look at what they're watching, and look what they're doing with their bodies, and look, oh. And it's like, didn't we all come from someplace? Didn't we all, you know what I mean? You don't remember listening to music like that? You weren't a teenager? You were never a teenager, huh? You weren't young and lost, and you don't remember that? That slips you. I mean, you so distance yourself from, and it's like, this is who Jesus said, I didn't come for the healthy. I've come for the sick.
Yeah.
I've come for the sick. And he had compassion. He had love. And you know what? When you have this thing operating in your life and it's self-righteous, they may be lost, but they're not dumb. I mean, they can sense it. You know what I'm saying? They're not dumb. They can sense that, man, you're looking down at me. You're judging me right now. And what happens when we just start loving people for who they are and helping them, you know, building a relationship with them, earning the right to tell them about Jesus, not just trying to, you know, throw some religious scriptures at them, you know, throw it in a religious way, but when we really care enough about people.
Mm-hmm.
What did John Maxwell say? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love somebody and then, you know, bridge that gap to be able to share. The other one is religious pride. Taking pride in maybe how long you've been a Christian. I've been saved for 35 years, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge, because it's just like, if we ever think that we begin to put our strength in what we know, as opposed to the one that taught us, the one that revealed it to us. It's just like we're already deceived. We're already walking away from the right path.
Well, the truth is, what do you have that Jesus didn't give you? Mm-hmm. What gift was it that you got on your own? What was it that you did that the blessing of God and the favor of God and the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life and whatever, just, you know, make the... Well, what did you do? The Bible says that wasn't given to you already.
I mean, think about the actual application of it. It's just like, imagine if somebody was a baby, and a baby walks into a door, and they're wobbling, and they're gooing, and they're crying, and you're like, well, I can actually run. I don't know about you over there. And it's just like you start boasting about, like, well, I've actually been walking for 35 years. And it's like, it's a baby. He's learning to walk.
Right.
Give him a break. Spend time with him. And it's just like, that's how Jesus looks at us. It's just like we're children. And it's just like, and it's so powerful. It's just like, what do we have that Jesus has not already given us? And it's just like, if at any point in our life, if we say, I know Jesus or all this, and it's just like, there was a day when you looked at the Bible for the first time and you're like, mm-hmm. wait, what do the red letters mean? Right. What are those little numbers? And it's like, remember those days when you knew nothing?
Right.
And it's just like, we have to remember the testimony of what God did in our own lives for us to remember. It's just like, oh, wow, that's right. I was dead when Jesus found me.
But how many times, really, how many times people try to go far away from their testimony?
Right.
As the, you know, and they separate the greatest miracle that happened in their life. They separate.
Yeah, they
you
forgot
know,
where they came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we got to remember that, hey, that was me. That was that, because it's Jesus's miracle in my life that if I'm anything, it's because of God, you know? And if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for his saving grace upon my life, I'd be all messed up. You know, it's him that saved me, and he's the one that keeps me together. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're, that's the place where we, you know, it's like, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Well, the other one, another tentacle, is a fault finder. Is a fault finding tentacle that's constantly looking for faults, constantly looking for mistakes. I call this the spec inspector.
Mm.
You know, you ever had those conversations? Is like, or you're doing something for God, and instead of saying, you know, this, wow, this, the good stuff, it's automatically is like, hey, but you know, you could have done this and that webs. Did you see that error? And oh, you printed this brochure.
Did you see that typo?
Yeah. This is. Did you see the gospel preached in this thing first? Did you see the guy? I mean, did you get the spirit of what was trying to happen here? And it's right. Like, why? Who deputized you as, you know, the spec inspector? Who gave you that? Who said that was your job? And you know what? I think that people that do it, they don't even realize that they're doing it, one. And then number two, once it's like it's exposed, they realize, man, I don't even want that in my life. What's up with that? You know, but it's so easy. It's like, wow, all these faults, you know, it's amazing. You know, sometimes people, they start wanting to be a part of, maybe they didn't have a job, so they get hired. And as soon as they get hired on the job, all of a sudden they start trying to tell their new boss all the things going wrong with this company.
Everybody.
Yeah. You know, oh, my last job, you know, we did, is like.
This is not how we did it.
Yeah, before. You know. We've only been here 20 years.
You're not there anymore.
I know our business has only been here 20 years, you know, but it's like.
Yeah, what do we know?
You think they did something right in the last 20 years? Right. You know what I'm saying? You think maybe? But it's easy how it's once you point out all the faults. Or, you know, someone, now they've been going after God. They're growing. They're discipled. And now they're. You know, hey, fruit first, ministry second. They got fruit in their life, so now they've been prepared to carry a piece of the ark, to touch something of the Lord, to walk in this way. And the minute they walk into the ministry, they're like, hey, what? I'm so glad I'm here now. It's like, why are we touching that? Why put your mouth on that instead of celebrating and saying, you know, hey, this is a good thing. This is a good thing, and it is what it is, and God's grace gracing us and gracing them, you know, and we're going to bless it, and good. It's good. But these are things we've got to look out for.
Yeah.
Another one is critical. These all kind of go in the same kind of genre, if you will. These are probably on the same side of the octopus.
On the same arm.
But you got a critical spirit, you know, just being critical, pointing things out again. Things wrong. And these people that are often critically wounded, they themselves are all just messed up. And it's because they spent their whole time criticizing everything and everyone and why everything is bad. And think about it. This is not a good recipe. You know, this is not a good pattern here, strategy for victorious living, if you will. You got perfectionism. you know, only seeing things in black and white, you know, extremes. Another one is divisive and argumentative. I mean, this is not what the Pharisees were doing nonstop, constantly bringing an argument, constantly bringing a different opinion, constantly trying to wedge some sort of division in the midst of everything. And it's like, stop it. No divisiveness, no argument, just, again, rooted in pride because you're trying to defend yourself. Mm-hmm. Not something that's ever...
No.
Okay. No.
No, that was the other guy.
That was the other guy. Mm. The guy with no mic, probably. Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that was him.
He's awake. There he is.
And he's back.
Spirit of error. Oh, my goodness. Think about that. They were more concerned about the traditions of men. And Jesus said, you don't even know the scriptures. What are you talking about? Whose wife she's going to be, the marriage supper of the Lamb? What the resurrection? What? You don't even know the scriptures. You're in error. And that's because they focus on the wrong stuff. They got their eyes off of Jesus and got their eyes on tradition and religion and all this type of stuff. Listen, we want to get free from this. Join us in the second program as we continue to discuss the rest of these little tentacles and how we can overcome and be victorious in God. You don't want to miss it. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this on to this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.